said Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right, good day, everybody. It is Saturday, May 13th, 2023. Welcome to this edition of the Don Tony Show. For my American friends who are live, good morning. For my international friends, good afternoon and good evening. And for everybody on the replay, I hope you're having a good day. We got some WWE news to get into. I know a lot of people are wondering, like I did originally, how is Sami Zayn now going to Saudi Arabia for Night of Champions, especially under the circumstances and the history? We actually have some answers with that. Some funny news, some not so funny news, and you know, we'll definitely bang it out. Plus, the Impact Wrestling ratings are in for Trinity's debut and her second week. And I see that Ronnie C sent in a little $5 super chat earlier, and he used the word oof, oof. Yeah, I mean, reality is pretty much sunk in. Yeah, you kind of feel bad for her, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, I got two announcements. One I can't get into yet, but I'll give you an idea of where it's going if you want to look into it. And something else that quite a few of you have been asking for a long time, and I decided, you know what, I think next Sunday, you know, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, the 21st of May, instead of doing your normal sit-down with Don Tony episode where, you know, you ask all the questions about wrestling. I know this may sound corny for some, but believe me when I tell you, it happens on Patreon quite a bit. We get into real discussion, things going on in everybody's lives, social issues, personal stuff, some people having problems, suggestions, maybe just want to talk about it. So I don't know what we should call. I mean, I'm not changing the name of the show, but, you know, maybe we just say that next week we're going to talk about life. So whatever is going on. So if you want to be part of it, next Sunday, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, we'll try it out for 1 week and see how everything goes. To compensate it, I'll probably do a Q&A the following week that we'll have to do at wrestling. So next Sunday, if you want to have a little conversation that doesn't have to do, I'm sure a little wrestling discussion will always get snuck in there somehow, but that's what we're going to do next Sunday. Also, something's changing with the channel. I got a lot of feedback the last 2 weeks about not doing video for Wednesday Night Dynamite, and I have given everyone my reasons as to why I pulled video. It's not out of anger towards AEW. I actually think they're doing pretty damn good right now, and I'm excited what's going to happen very soon. Seeing Miro return, seeing Thunder Rosa return, CM Punk is about to return, Andrade teasing a return. Hey, those are four people that I wouldn't mind seeing back on my television. It's more about just a physical thing, energy, you know, getting older, you know, wasting time, hours that probably should be directed other ways. I got a lot of complaints. People are like, hey, if it's not here on YouTube, I ain't tuning in anywhere else. So I'm like, okay, no problem. So the channel's going to be handled similar to how the Wrestling Observer handles their shows. All right, so if you know anything about Wrestling Observer's YouTube channel and how they handle their audio-only shows, you know, if you check out their template, we're pretty much going to do the same format. Probably won't start it until June 1st, but be prepared. Because basically now, if people really want to tune in to what I do, you know, if you want to catch it live, absolutely, open up to the world. But for the people out there that are like, you know what, I'll catch it during the week. I ain't staying up till 3-4 o'clock in the morning anymore. You know, for people that say to me, you know what, you're my second choice or third choice to tune in live. If you there's an old saying, if you snooze, you lose. That's basically where we're going with this. So just to let you know, All right. Very quickly, before we get into the news, and I'm sure a lot of you out there really want to know about the Sami Zayn stuff and Edge. Yeah, we got to have a little conversation about Edge and the teaser, the thumbnail teaser. That actually is a legit storyline that is floating around creatively in WWE. That's not clickbait. That's something that WWE is seriously considering down the line. And that's one of the reasons why Brock Lesnar is a free agent right now. Makes it a little bit easier when Brock Lesnar shows up on SmackDown to claim what he was promised. We'll touch on that a little bit. I want to congratulate Jeremiah Richards, who won the YouTube predictions contest last week amongst channel members. I posted an announcement in the community section, so Jeremiah, reach out to me, DM, email, so I can hook you up. All right. Let's get into Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Night of Champions, what went down on SmackDown yesterday, and could they possibly be swerving us? No, I don't think so. I'll tell you why. All right. Yesterday on SmackDown, Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, Paul Heyman, the Usos come out. And Roman Reigns, you know, look, obviously in storyline, the Usos have lost. They lost at WrestleMania. They lost their rematch. If we're supposed to believe the storyline, Roman Reigns has not talked to the Usos since WrestleMania. So they're out in the ring, and Roman Reigns, you know, says that the greatest garners respect. And he says, you know, there's truly only one royal family. Little shot at Cody Rhodes. Crowd did not really chant Cody yesterday, which was a little disappointing. But the way Roman directed the promo, I guess, you know, they succeeded in what they wanted to do. Roman Reigns talking about how he and Solo Sikoa stepped up at WrestleMania, how Solo Sikoa stepped up at Backlash. And he said that, you know, there was initial concern with Solo Sikoa once he was brought on the road, and it was either sink or swim for Solo Sikoa, and Solo proved that he swims like a shark. And now the crowd breaks into Sami chants for Sami Zayn. You know, Sami Bloodline, Solo Sikoa. Not going to chant KO as much. And that was the opening. The Sami Zayn chants is what led to Roman Reigns saying to Solo Sikoa, "Solo, you don't have a Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn problem. You have problem with your brothers." And they look over at the Usos, and Solo Sikoa even nods his head. So Roman looks at the Usos like, y'all knew it was going to happen. You know, you dedicate your tag team titles. Now, this was a little goofy, let's be honest. Roman says, you dedicate your tag team titles to me. You know, where, you know, your tag team and our lineage, you disrespected them. Insinuating that if you're going to dedicate a tag team title match to anybody, you dedicate it to Afa and Sika, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And Roman Reigns orders the Usos to apologize. And this was kind of a flashback from a couple of years ago. If you remember Jimmy Uso not thrilled about Roman Reigns. Remember when Jimmy Uso first returned and Jay basically stuck up for Jimmy, like Jimmy didn't take it too seriously. Jimmy was laughing yesterday. He's laughing because he thinks Roman Reigns, you know, he's not being real right now. He's joking around. So I loved it because Roman brings up the Goodfellas movie skit that they did for WrestleMania. He's like, what are we filming another commercial? I make you laugh. I'm a tribal clown once again. And I fucking started laughing. So Roman is like, You know, the only words I want to hear out of your mouth is, I apologize, or I'm sorry, tribal chief. And Jimmy, again, you know, he's looking at Jay. He's like, is this guy serious? And Roman Pie faces Jimmy Uso. So before anything else, Jay Uso steps up and he apologizes. Once again, crowd boos. And Roman, he's pissed off. And Jay Uso gets on the mic. He says, give us one more shot and we'll bring the tag team titles back to the bloodline. So Roman Reigns agrees. He says that the tag team titles will return to the bloodline. But Wise Man make the announcement. Now, this was a little off because Roman, I know everybody was thinking about the Shield, but Roman kept saying repeatedly moments earlier, I'm not a tag team wrestler. Why are you dedicating stuff to me? I'm not a tag team wrestler. You should be dedicating it to our bloodline. So moments later, Roman Reigns tells Paul Heyman to make an announcement. And Paul Heyman says, yes, my tribal chief. And at Night of Champions, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will be defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. But it will be against Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa. So that is your Night of Champions match. It is going down. Now, next week on SmackDown, there will be a face-to-face with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, Solo Sikoa, and Roman Reigns. Now, some people think, oh, here's where the fuckery happens. And something will happen, and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens will not be able to go to Saudi Arabia. Let me make something clear. $50 million involved. WWE is not going to tease Saudi Arabia in any way, shape, or form by putting that announcement out there, having Saudi Arabia plaster it all over their media world, and then next week a storyline swerve and it doesn't happen. That doesn't happen with the Saudi Arabia shows. Yes, for other shows, yeah, you could creatively do a twist. Why not? But when it comes to Saudi Arabia, they're not going to change it. Now, some of you out there immediately, like me, was saying, wow, I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with the backlash against Sami Zayn. Because Sami Zayn absolutely refused to go to Saudi Arabia in the past. And I saw this come in last night from Ryan Armstrong. Thank you very much for the five spot. How are Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens now going to defend the WWE Undisputed Tag Team titles against Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa at Night of Champions if Sami Zayn and KO does not go to Saudi Arabia? Okay. Excellent question. A lot of you asked. I actually put the answer on Twitter yesterday. But unfortunately, like I said, unless it's the Cake and Ice Cream crew posting stuff like that, nobody is interested. So for those out there that may not frequent my social media, you know, once in a while, put something out there for all of you to do a, you know, little, you know, not just learning, but prepared, be prepared. I'm going to give you a little news that's going on. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting because if you actually read between the lines, Sami Zayn, this is just exaggeration. But I wouldn't be surprised if Sami Zayn was angrier now at the United States than at Saudi Arabia. And you're probably saying to yourself, DT, what are you talking about? Okay. That is Syria and Saudi Arabia's flags. Some of you that are not aware of this, this happened this week, by the way. I want to point that out. This happened this week. So, you know, this is why I think Sami Zayn is willing to go to Saudi Arabia. And Kevin Owens always stood by his best friend's side. If Sammy refuses to go to Saudi Arabia for obvious reasons that have been discussed in the past, then I'm not going either. So what has happened in the last week? Well, to give you the Cliff Notes version, you know, the world politics for dummies version, and I don't mean that derogatory towards you, but just to put it in simple English, this week the Arab nations readmitted Syria into the Arab League. Now, if you don't know what that is, I'm not going to give you a social studies history lesson here. It's going to bore a lot of people. You could Google it, and you go from where, or you could go to my Twitter, @DonTonyD, and click the link there and do a little reading. But this past week, Syria was re-entered in the Arab League. Now, besides that, as a result, Saudi Arabia and Syria have both agreed to continue diplomatic missions in both countries. Peace. Peace. How long this lasts? I think it will last for a while. Admitting Syria back into the Arab League is a big deal. It's a very big deal. Now, here's where it gets interesting with the United States. We always hear about Saudi Arabia's atrocities. I mean, look, there's atrocities in every country. There's atrocities here in New York. You know, look at recent news. There's atrocities all over the world. But Syria also has their share as well. And if you read the article that I linked on my social media, the United States objected to Syria being brought back into the Arab League. The United States, they said, this is from the CNN article, that the United States objected that the 300,000 civilians and displacement of millions in the country's brutal civil war, that is Syria. Now, if you look at, you know, Sami Zayn's charitable organizations to help people displaced in Syria, those are not the people that are creating the atrocities. But there are atrocities going on in Syria. And the United States basically, I guess what their point is as long as the regime remains in power, that, you know, these atrocities will continue. And the United States was totally against having Syria readmitted into the Arab League. That's pretty fascinating. You know, I mean, like I said, do a little research if it fancies you to look into it a little bit more. My main objective here is to just give you some understanding that now since Syria and Saudi Arabia are resuming diplomatic missions and trying to create the peace and trying to build from it, now Sami Zayn more open to going back to Saudi Arabia. Listen, I want to make this perfectly clear. Sami Zayn has not issued any comments. Sami Zayn did not call me. Sami Zayn did not email me. I'm not going to throw out the people close to Sami Zayn or the camp. Sami Zayn's camp told me, like a lot of wackos do online. We don't know. But the fact that this just happened a week ago, and you're resuming diplomatic missions, diplomacy, peace, I think that's the reason why Sami Zayn agreed, I'll go back to Saudi Arabia. So I just figured I'd throw that out there. Because, yeah, I mean, I let me put it this way. I saw a lot of people last night saying, oh, well, you know, that's what money does. That maybe Sammy realized, let me take the cash and then put it towards my charitable causes. Yeah, he could definitely do that. But what those people were insinuating was that Sammy's going back there solely because of money. And yeah, that kind of makes it like, you know, you're putting money before morals. And I want to make a point. If you're going to say to me, well, DT, look, even though there's been atrocities in Saudi Arabia and Sammy, how he feels about it, he's getting this giant payday and the money's going to good use. Well, explain to me the logic of Libya paying people because of what terrorists did or another. You don't simply write out a check. Hey, I bombed your plane. I'm sorry. I do not know what they were thinking. So here is a check for $5 billion. Look, can we all move on from this? That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Atrocities are atrocities. And if you are against something, writing out a check is not the way to fix it. So I personally think that what happened in the past week is what led to Sami Zayn returning to Saudi Arabia. You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I seriously can't see any other logical reason. Now, you know, if they do a storyline twist next week, which I don't believe, they can't. In fact, a lot of people think that the Usos are going to cost Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa the tag team win at Night of Champions, because the Usos are going to Saudi Arabia. Absolutely. So that is the story. So hopefully I explained it simple, clear. We will get more information about it. I guarantee you, Sami Zayn will make a comment, because there's a lot of people very, very, very close to Sami and a lot of people who are involved with those organizations. And they definitely want a little bit of clarity, not just assumption or guessing, because right now we are assuming. But that news is big. It's big. So, and it is true. So I figured I'd share it with you. So, like I said, if you want, you go to my Twitter at DonTonyD, and there's a link there, and you can go read it, and it'll take you to other links. The U.S. part of it is fascinating. The U.S. part of it is very fascinating. So go check it out. Now, couple other things. We could stay on the SmackDown topic, and then we'll get into some news and some unfortunate news for Robert Roode and some other stuff going on. I got a funny story to tell you about Devon and his enjoyment of cuck porn. Asuka, gotta love her. Gotta love it. We could bring it up right now. Asuka, last night, did she turn on Bianca Belair? Or as Wade Barrett calls it, Bianca? Bianca? I love it when he does that. Last night, we had a celebration, a championship celebration for Bianca Belair. For some reason, Damage Control wasn't pissed enough to go out there and try to break it up in storyline. But Bianca hits the ring. And before Bianca could say anything, here comes Asuka. Asuka hits the ring. I got a video for you. Asuka hits the ring, and she looks into the face of Bianca, and she spits the green mist. Now, don't want to break my glasses. We've seen many people spit the green mist, get the green mist spit. Chelsea Green, recently. You know, Chelsea Green seemed more like, I got this green goo on my eyes. Yeah. We've had people that are like, get the spit, and they're kind of temporarily blinded, and then Asuka does what they do and whatever. Last night, Asuka spits the green mist in Bianca. You would have thought she spit battery acid in her face. And Bianca's like, ah! And I'm like, that's not easy to do. Overacting, are we? But hey, you know, maybe this was magical green mist. Maybe there was some additives to it. Now, you know how social media is. They're going to take this and try to rip it apart. you know, some people, you know, like to heal it up towards Bianca, not just Puerto Rico for a night, even though they do support her. But, you know, right away on social media yesterday, like, oh, Oscar spit the green mist 100,000 times in the past, and Bianca is acting like it's the first. You ever notice when a wrestler debuts for a company and hits their finisher, and when the finisher hits, it's like they just created a catastrophe? Like The Undertaker hits the tombstone in 1991, and they got to put people out on a stretcher. You know, you hit your finisher, and it's like the worst thing. Like, you created cosmic damage. And then as they get, like, a couple of years into their career, people kick out at one. You know, so when you first spit the green mist, Tajiri's a good example. When Tajiri first came to WWF in the 2000s, early 2000s, you know, when he would spit the green mist, it was over-exaggerated. People were acting like they were blinded, pouring water on their face and everything. After a couple of months, it was like, oh, novelty. You know, and it's like funny. So Bianca's selling it like Asuka never spit the green mist yesterday. So Asuka, gotta love Asuka. This example is what I love about wrestling. Asuka prepared for social media backlash, like, Bianca's overselling it. She posted this on Twitter.
Asuka is ready for the heat. Let's do it. I use everything
here to congratulate Bianca. Wait a minute! Asuka with a miss to the champion!
Well, what a sneak attack on the champ!
Very spicy! I approve.
So she's selling that she took the spicy from the ramen noodles and she mixed it in with the mist. Oh, I experiment with red pepper. Love it. I love it. Shit like that, little things like that, is what makes things great. So everybody yesterday, like, Bianca, you think she's over-exaggerating, overselling it? And, like, when I first saw it, I was like, hey, eat a Snickers. It ain't that bad. You got green food coloring in your face. You know, then Asuka puts that video out there, and I'm like, awesome, man. Awesome. So Asuka, she brings the heat. You're not ready for green mist mixed with hot pepper, ghost pepper. Love it. Love it. So there you go. Got to give some serious. I don't know if you frequent his social media, but Robert Roode, I mean, look, I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV, but I have read about neck fusion, and I think Robert Roode's in-ring career is over. I just can't see him risking his quality of life, you know, for what? I mean, what promotion at his age, a year and a half from now, is really going to consider, hey, let's bring him in and, yeah, we'll give him a run. Like, I could see him being a trainer. I could see him working behind the scenes, maybe hitting a spot. Manager, I don't know. But for those that don't know, Robert Roode is back in the hospital. And he's got to get his second neck fusion surgery. Last year, he had a C5 and C6 vertebrae fused. On social media 2 days ago, he wrote, and I quote, "Another trip around the sun and another trip to Birmingham, Alabama. Quite a way to celebrate my birthday. I had a C4-5 cervical fusion to go along with my 5 and 6 fusion back in November. Most importantly, it was a success. Big thank you for being my rock. It's been a challenging year, to say the least. Road to Recovery, Part 2. So what he's basically saying is that he had to undergo his second neck fusion surgery, and they believe that this one was now a success. The first one was not healing properly. If you remember Big E's injury, you know, you can't put a screw in there. You know, you can't use glue. You can't do anything to speed up the process. Time. time is the only thing that could, you know, heal, you know, especially with Big E's injury. And that's why when people are like, oh, I hope he could recover sooner. And then no, it's not something that you could speed up, you know, with metal or something like that. And when, if you remember last year, we calculated that right around WrestleMania time is when Big E would get a good idea, not if he could return to the ring, but how the healing process was going. Big E would have to wait a year just to let it heal. And yes, you go to doctor's appointments, they look at CAT scans, MRIs, X-rays along the way. But, you know, as time goes by, you know, you got to monitor that healing process. Now, all signs point that Big E is doing very, very well. Thing is with Robert Roode is now he's at his second surgery and he's older. And look, Robert Roode is in amazing physical condition. But now you got to start thinking about quality of life. Now you got to start thinking about reality as far as the world of pro wrestling. What promotions come to mind that you think that if Robert Roode were able to return in a year and a half, 2 years from now, at his age, that a promotion's going to decide, yeah, you know what, if he could go, we'll bring him in, we'll put the heavyweight title on him or even the secondary title. I just don't see it. And I'm a big fan of Robert Roode. I got the pleasure of meeting him at NYWC probably 20 years ago. It's got to be around 20 years ago. NYWC in Long Island, Robert Roode was there. Bobby Roode. Very, very cool dude. I mean, 20 years go by, maybe he turned into a dick. But Robert Roode was very, very cool back then. Socializing, good guy. So I wish him nothing but the best. But, you know, if you are on any of his social media pages, send him a get well wish. You know, I mean, it really, believe I when I tell you, it actually does mean a lot. You may not always get a response from someone, but, you know, then they see that people didn't forget about them and they care. That's a nice thing to do. So, you know what, Gruss? That's not bad. I could see NWA bringing him in some capacity. You know, more like the old school. The thing is, though, is really, you know, you got to worry about your quality of life. You know, God forbid you land the wrong way. And, you know, we've seen some really freak injuries where somebody just lands awkwardly and they're done. So, you know, he the second surgery just happened. So he's got a long road to go. And who knows? We don't even know what NWA is going to look like a year and a half, 2 years from now. So, all right, you want a little more lighthearted stuff? A little more lighthearted stuff. Oh, my God. Devon. If anybody wants to go watch old Aura video shoot interviews, look up some ECW ones. I don't remember if Bill Alfonso talked about it. I'm pretty sure Bubba Ray talked about it. Devon, back in the day, was quite the ladies' man. Devon would have multiple women. Now, listen, he's obviously, I think he's married now. He's got kids. I'm not saying that Devon, you know, is promiscuous. But one thing that has never left Devon is his appreciation for women. Now, Devon, unfortunately, could lie all he wants, but we know the truth, everybody. On Twitter, you can see what other people like. Recently, Triple H kind of got himself in a little bit of, I don't even think it was hot water. I don't think Triple H gave a shit, but somebody posted a tweet, something that was a little negative towards AEW and pro WWE, and Triple H liked it. Didn't retweet it, just liked it, and everybody caught it. Now, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm not one to go on famous people's social media and just click the link to see what they have liked. I know some people do that because it becomes their wallpaper. Oh, my God, this person liked my tweet. Let me tattoo it on my tit. Well, let me tattoo it on my neck, my back, my crack. So apparently people were monitoring what D-Von likes. Now, over the years, D-Von has liked, okay, I don't want to out the guy, but I know a lot of you are thinking about him right now as well, Jim Ross. Listen, Jim Ross lost his wife to a tragic accident. Jim Ross is alone. He's single. I don't think he'll ever, you know, get into another relationship. He loved his wife. I think her name was Jan. And it's awful what happened to her. Jim Ross is a guy. He appreciates women. He appreciates beauty. You know, looking at something and liking it is not necessarily perverted. So Jim Ross, he'll like, you know, like a sexy shot of Tori Wilson or a sexy shot of Gigi Dolan or a sexy shot of someone else. These are grown adults. These are not children. So D-Von, you know, in the past, he has liked a lot of bikini shots of women, some women in wrestling. Recently, Gigi Dolan. Recently, who was the other one? I can't remember who the other one was. He even, you know, liked, you know, some swimsuit models. But he also hit the like button on a bunch of cuck porn clips. A lot of X-rated clips. Now, if you are over the age of 18, I will give you a Twitter handle that you could go on Twitter right now and look. This person took a video screenshot of some of D-Von's likes before D-Von unlike them. So if you want to get an idea of what D-Von was liking, again, you have to be 18 or over to go on this Twitter. It's at Real Yodi 1, and I'll spell it R-E-A-L-Y-O-D, as in David, E as in Edward, number 1. Real Yodi 1. And unlike 20-some-odd years ago when we were doing hotlines, people would be like, oh, I got to hit the rewind button on the cassette. You know, all you got to do is just rewind the show 10 seconds and write it down. Yeah, he was liking a lot of porn and some not traditional porn. So social media blew up. D-Von, we could see all your tweets. D-Von, we could see all your tweets. So D-Von unliked everything, and then D-Von writes the following statement. He says, everybody relax. It was a joke with friends, and the like button was pushed by accident. I laughed out loud, not putting much into it. Again, relax, people. It was a joke. Listen, he is notorious for appreciating, you know, adult entertainment, the beauty of the woman. This was no accident. And he's embarrassed. I don't blame him. He's embarrassed. But you know what? Hey, he's a man. Even if he was a woman, he got you once. D-Von, get the gel rag. D-Von, you fucking pervert, you. Nah. D-Von is just a guy. You know, what's that Bella song? You could look, but you can't touch. How many of you hated the hairdryer noise on SmackDown yesterday? There were points in some matches that I almost had to, you know what? I don't know what it was with noise yesterday. I was pissed off last night. I watched SmackDown yesterday. And I'm watching the match with AJ Styles versus Edge versus Rey Mysterio. And by the way, we'll get to Edge. There's a little story, and I'll get to it in a second. I'm watching this match, and they're putting on a great performance. I mean, there was a couple of double spots where Rey went for the double 619. Didn't happen. You know, you had AJ put the calf crusher on Ray, while Edge had the cross face on Ray at the same time. So you had a lot of two-on-one moments in the match. And the crowd was into it. But for some reason, WWE decided to add to it. Add is probably the better word. A lot of that piped in noise. You know, that, and people say the hairdryer noise. Because if you turn the hairdryer on, you know, even on a low level, you just hear that constant. And, like, I'm trying to hear the chants, and I'm trying to hear AJ Styles, and you could hear this buzz noise over it. And I normally don't comment much about the piped-in noise because they've been doing it for decades. AEW does it. The only reason why NWA and ECW and some other smaller promotions never did it is because they never were, they were never equipped, you know, electronically to do that. You know, especially ECW back then. What do you think they're going to say? Hey, sound guy, put in a CD that has crowd noise on it. You know, they used CDs at the time. There was no boards like that. The editing of ECW in Yonkers, you know, in Westchester, that was different. That basement was like a shrine. I had the privilege of going there and seeing it when the same people were producing XPW in Philly. And I was just blown away watching this. And I'm saying to myself, wow, I'm standing where Paul Heyman used to stand. I'm standing watching and showing how it was doing. That was amazing. But, you know, for the bigger promotions, yeah, they pipe in noise. You know, the telltale sign is when you see or hear that noise, just look at the crowd. Look at the crowd. Especially, you know, when lights go off and lights come back on in AEW, that's a perfect example of it. You know, but that noise yesterday was so annoying, man. I got to be honest, it really turned me off on some moments of SmackDown yesterday, and I thought SmackDown was a hell of a lot better than Raw. I don't know why they insisted on piping that in anyway. That constant, steady noise that actually showered out some legitimate crowd chants. I said that I watched something else last night as well. I don't know if any of you out there watched the A&E biography of The Ultimate Warrior yet. I watched it last night. I don't know whose fucking idea it was to make all the music that they're playing throughout the show that loud, especially the first half of it when they're showing his bodybuilding and they're showing like him when he first got into wrestling. And I thought there was something wrong with my TV. I mean, the music was fucking pipe blasting. And I'm like, I could hear the people talking, the people being interviewed. And I'm like, why is this music? Go, if anybody, it's on YouTube. So if you're curious what I'm talking about, just look up the Ultimate Warrior biography. And just watch 30 minutes of it. And I think you'll turn it off. I mean, it was so fucking annoying, too. It was really not good. So, all right. So, let's talk about Edge. Let's talk about AJ Styles. Not that we don't want to talk about Ray, but Ray, you know, we knew that Ray was not advancing. But by the way, later on in the night, after the Usos had their incident with Roman Reigns, the LWO thought it was kind of funny. This led to a little backstage confrontation, which is going to lead to a match next week. Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio versus the Usos. Let's see if the LWO gets a win. That's all I'm going to say. But the match with AJ, Edge, and Rey Mysterio, a lot of people thought, you know what? Not only is Edge going to Saudi Arabia, but now Edge may actually win the World Heavyweight Championship. Yes, he was just drafted to SmackDown. Yes, it would have kind of made the whole thing a little goofy. But just to show you how good Edge is, Edge posted a video on social media 2 days ago. This video turned into, within an hour, news reports that WWE is seriously considering Edge to become World Heavyweight Champion. It's tonight. I actually looked into it myself because when I saw this video, I'm like, wow, that's a fucking powerful video. It also led to fans in droves rooting for Edge over Seth Rollins. One small video, and you had a decent amount of the IWC now rooting for Edge to become the first World Heavyweight Champion instead of Seth Rollins. Amazing how powerful one video would do. Now, I will tell you something that I was told after I show you the video, because I was curious myself too, because if you remember Monday when we were doing predictions for the tournament, I said it's going to come down to AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins at Night of Champions, and Seth Rollins will become your first World Heavyweight Champion. I don't think you need to deviate from that in any way. But after watching this video, I'm like, you know, could, yeah, I think we even said on Monday that, you know, remember the match with Rollins and Edge in the cage? Remember that? I mean, they could run that back. I think we had that conversation Monday as well. After watching this video, I was like, huh, interesting. But I was told something totally different. Here's the video, and then I'll tell you what I found out.
Hey, everybody. So this isn't some kind of mapped out wrestling poem or anything. I'm sitting in what is my second home, a wrestling ring, trying to get in some reps before SmackDown tomorrow night, where I face Rey Mysterio and AJ Styles. And I can't say enough about those guys. I know AJ and I have had our differences in the past. And you know the history with me and Ray. Those two guys are the reason a lot of people are in our industry. And I expect...
Sorry, a little technical issue. My apologies.
Hey, everybody. So this isn't some kind of mapped out wrestling poem or anything. I'm sitting in what is my second home, a wrestling ring, trying to get in some reps before SmackDown tomorrow night, where I face Rey Mysterio and AJ Styles. And I can't say enough about those guys. I know AJ and I have had our differences in the past. And you know the history with me and Ray. Those two guys are the reason a lot of people are in our industry, and I expect to have one hell of a match. I also expect to win it. I have to. You know, some people have been running around saying they're going to finish their stories, right? And good for them. But it made me think a little bit about my story. The introduction of the WWE Heavyweight Championship, if I look at that thing, it even looks like the title that I never lost. Looks like big gold. 12 years ago, I was forced to give that thing up. Never had a chance to get it back. Now I have a chance. And it all comes full circle. Now this ride, it's going to end sooner than later. Let's face it, we all know that. I got to get this done. It's the last thing to do. It's the period on the end of the sentence, right? It's the last sentence in the book. I got to get that stuff out of the basement. And, I just got to do it. You know, all of you that are watching this, I assume you've been with me on this ride, and I really appreciate it. It's going to end soon, and I got to end it right this time. And there's no better way to finish it than to win the World Heavyweight Championship. And then when I lose it, that's it. I'm done. So Ray, AJ, bring your best tomorrow. I know you will. Can't wait to see you in there, to be honest. Let's tear it up.
Yeah, he got everybody behind him. Unfortunately, he didn't win that match. But you put something like that out there. It's emotional, it's powerful, it's real, feels real, a lot of it is real, and you say to yourself, yeah, he's got to get one more run before he retires. You know, his career is winding down. He did not win the match yesterday. In fact, the finish was a little botched, if we're going to be a little honest. At the very end of the match, Ray climbs the top rope and dives off, and apparently, Edge was supposed to give him a spear. But instead, Edge just kind of dropped to his knees. You know, he was supposed to, I guess, drop to his knees and grab Ray and spear him some way. But it just looked like he dropped to his knees. And Ray's leg kind of hit the back of Edge's neck. So the commentators, Michael Cole didn't know what to say. Michael Cole is then says, I think Ray was targeting the surgically repaired neck of Edge, but it was a botch. And, you know, luckily AJ Styles very quickly afterwards with a phenomenal forearm to Edge and gets the win. So AJ Styles advances to Night of Champions, and that is the match that most of us expected it to be. But now you ask yourself, what about Edge? You know, just put that out there that he's got to win the championship before he calls it. Well, believe it or not, that might be seeds to start being planted about another feud between him and Roman Reigns. If you remember, once the draft was over, you looked at the names that were moved to SmackDown, and there was about five or six names. You remember how some people, you know, some journalists are cute, because you look at the big names on the SmackDown roster and you say, oh, WWE has the following names considered as, you know, future contenders for Roman Reigns, and they're like Bobby Lashley, Karrion Kross, Edge, Rey Mysterio, AJ Styles. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think the list is going to say Cruz del Toro, Pretty Deadly. It's common sense. So Edge may actually get another little feud with Roman Reigns, because this Bloodline shit, people are getting tired of it. Listen, Bloodline storyline has been so good that I trust WWE and the people involved in the story to give me a good continuation. But just when you thought Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were done, shit, Fightful and a bunch of other places were putting up articles yesterday afternoon. Sami Zayn, my role in the Bloodline is over. Yeah, as part of the team, it's over. That was over before WrestleMania, duh. But just when you thought, no, now we got Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. Listen, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we said that do not be surprised if we see Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus the Usos in a match sooner than you think. In the process, though, Roman Reigns is not defending the championships. Roman Reigns, it's not his fault. It's WWE. They're turning him into Brock Lesnar circa, you know, 6-7 years ago. This is what they're turning, 5 years ago, this is what they're turning Roman Reigns into. Oh, he strategically, you know, negotiates this. Just think about the wackiness that Triple H creates a World Heavyweight Championship, goes on TV 2 weeks ago, and says, you know, Roman Reigns, he is negotiated, blah, 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 blah. I sound like Vince and Triple H had a love child. And, you know, we're going to do a real World Heavyweight Champion, this and that. And now 2 weeks later, you do a storyline where Roman Reigns negotiates to get a tag title shot and not defend the undisputed WWE Universal Championship at Night of Champions. I mean, Triple H, I mean, everybody, oh, Booker of the Year, you know, righting all the wrongs of Vince McMahon. Bullshit. Bullshit. And don't tell me, oh, this is Vince doing it and Triple H is in the corner with his clown nose back on doing timeout. He's not allowed. No, a lot of this shit is Triple H. The fuck out of here. Stop with that, oh, Vince McMahon stuff. We got some news yesterday about the formation, you know, the merger of Endeavor, UFC, and WWE. You know, stop with that shit, man. You know, it's a publicly traded company. Endeavor has already made it clear what people are going to do and what they're not going to do. You know, trust me, when Nick Khan and Vince and Triple H and other people in the corporate world, you know, say that, you know, Triple H, you know, Vince has some input, but Triple H is the one that's leading all creative. You know, they don't just, like, after they make their statement, they don't just put it down and go, ah, you did all those journalists online, oh, they're going to lose their shit. They don't give a fuck about any of you. They never did. But come on. And by the way, I think this is getting ridiculous now. Why is Bianca still have the Raw Women's Championship on SmackDown? Why does Rhea Ripley have the SmackDown Women's Championship on Raw and it's not being addressed? If they were going to have clarity, and even if they said at a later date they will face each other, or we will do a match where both champions are in the same ring, whoever wins that. You know, if we knew that a month from now, 2 months from now, that it was going to lead to some type of match or some open challenge or a battle royal or something like that, you know, or as long as she's Raw Women's Champion, she'd... Why? Why? I mean, this is ridiculous. It's stupid. I know WWE is one company. And I'm fine with Raw wrestlers showing up on SmackDown and SmackDown wrestlers showing up on Raw. I was fine with the tournament because if you would have stuck with only Raw wrestlers could compete in the World Heavyweight Championship tournament, we wouldn't have gotten AJ Styles yesterday versus Edge versus Rey. We wouldn't have gotten Bobby Lashley versus Austin Theory versus Sheamus. We wouldn't have gotten Bobby Lashley versus AJ Styles. We certainly would not have gotten AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins at Night of Champions. So I don't mind them mixing it up a little bit. But you clearly have a Raw title on SmackDown and they're not even mentioning it. They're not even addressing it. That's the problem. Give me a dumb answer. Give me a dumb answer. I'll give you another one. We could segue to this. We could segue to this. My thumbnail for this week's episode. Are we going to see a new dangerous alliance? Well, yes and no. Brock Lesnar attacked Cody Rhodes a couple of weeks ago. Led to a match at Backlash. And Cody Rhodes still doesn't know why. He thinks he knows why. The WWE Universe doesn't know why. Why did Brock Lesnar attack Cody Rhodes? Brock Lesnar never explained his actions. Now, if you tune into my shows, I joked and I said, look, Brock Lesnar could cut a promo, say, it's none of your fucking business. Or he could just say, I don't like Cody. You're going to say, well, that was a stupid answer. Brock don't have to have a reason. I don't like him. I don't like him. That's the end of it. Well, you know, it's a little deeper than that. Brock Lesnar has still not... Now, listen, let me make this clear. The reason why Brock Lesnar now wants Cody at Night of Champions is because of what Cody did to Brock's face at Backlash. Yes, I know Brock ran into the turnbuckle on his own, inadvertently. But still, you have a match with someone, you come out there with a black eye and stitches and everything, look what you did to my face. I'm going to fuck you up. I want to fight. So now it makes sense why they're fighting at Night of Champions. And there will be a special stipulation, as we said last week, because neither one are a champion right now. This will be maybe unsanctioned, something like that, whatever it is. It's got to be sanctioned, though, because it's got to be in the record books. Maybe it's unsanctioned. So if Brock loses, it's not in the record books. They could do that, too. Because if you really dissect it with AEW, you know, a lot of people like, oh, you know, Orange Cassidy and Jericho, or no, Orange Cassidy and Adam Cole, you know, that, Orange Cassidy, no, that was unsanctioned. That's not in the record books. So I could see them doing that with Brock. But are we going to get a dangerous alliance that Roman Reigns did not ask for? WWE right now has, I don't want to say on the table. I hate when fucking people put that. That's their way of saying, we have no idea, but it's a possibility. And if it happens, then yeah, we actually had a source. I'm not saying it's on the table. But few people that I talk to that work within, you know, the company, and these are low ends, and these are people that hear things. Where do you think this is going with Brock? What do you think is this? What do you think? When are we going to see Von Wagner? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? Well, what they are seriously considering doing is that Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar cannot fight for the world. He cannot take on Roman Reigns for the WWE Undisputed World Heavyweight Championship. That happened at SummerSlam. He lost, no more match. Well, Paul Heyman, in storyline, they are considering where Paul Heyman worked out a deal with Brock Lesnar without Roman Reigns knowing that if Brock Lesnar takes out Cody Rhodes because Paul Heyman is very, very nervous about Cody Rhodes as a threat for Roman Reigns' championship, that even though Roman Reigns defeated Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, that Cody Rhodes is not going away. Cody Rhodes is still going to pursue Roman. Cody Rhodes is going to continue the story, and he's going to finish the story. Remember, people, it's not always the destination. You know, it's the traveling. So Paul Heyman, concerned about Cody going after Roman again, positioned himself to work out a deal with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar takes out Cody Rhodes. And in return, I don't know, maybe Brock gets a title shot again, or Brock Lesnar is this, or Brock, whatever it is, whatever Paul Heyman promised Brock Lesnar, he may not be able to deliver. And down the line, we could possibly see Brock Lesnar show up on a SmackDown. I want what you promised me. Roman Reigns has no fucking idea what Brock is talking about. Brock is telling Paul Heyman, I want what you promised. I'm here to collect. And Roman has no fucking idea. Then it gets revealed that Paul Heyman made a deal with Brock. And that's why Brock took out Cody Rhodes originally. Roman Reigns has no idea of the death. Now, that, look, they could change that and make Roman Reigns act like he was aware of it. But ultimately, that's where they could go with this. And that seems like where they're going to go with this. So, look, we don't have a copy of the script. We don't know exactly what parts of it are going to solidify and they go with. But right now, for everybody that continues asking, like, why did Brock Lesnar originally attack Cody? They never answered that question. They never answered that question. That question will be answered down the line. And with Brock Lesnar being a free agent, now it makes sense. Oh, Brock advertised SmackDown next week. Now, in storyline, Roman doesn't have to worry. Brock can't go after his championship. Paul Heyman, if you see on TV the week before, Paul Heyman seems a little nervous about it. That's where they could be going with it. So, all right. Let's start winding this down. Cameron Grimes defeats Baron Corbin in 6 seconds. Corbin's unluckiness continues. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, I have a feeling we're going to see Baron Corbin pop up in NXT for an opportunity. And I think people will laugh. The crowd will laugh at him. And it's all designed for storyline. Baron Corbin cannot cut a break. Cameron Grimes yesterday, hey, I liked. Some body hair is coming back. You know, I know that sounds weird for maybe people that don't normally tune into the shows. But, you know, one of my notorious things back in the DTKC show days is when we had Vanilla, Daniel Bryan, way early on when he first got rehired, I said, you know, he needs some facial hair. He needs to grow some hair. He's got to change his look a little bit. I mean, I never had any idea that, you know, he would have what he had afterwards. But I always said the same thing with Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes, too groomed, looks like a boy. I don't care if he's been in wrestling 15 years. He looks like a child. He looks like somebody in college. You know, he looks like somebody working in production. He doesn't look, you know, like a wrestler that's going to get, you know, pushed to the moon, unless he's major underdog. So when he came out yesterday and he's wearing the vest and you see the chest hair and he's got a little bit of the beard, I think Cameron Grimes ultimately turns heel, man. Seriously. I right now, you know, eventually they'll do to the moon. But eventually Cameron Grimes, when he starts getting a little bit more of the body hair back, he'll turn heel again. Because that's just someone that just, you know, like, if you're, like, next to them at a pool, even if they smell like cologne, you're looking like, ew, ew. You know, just something about that. So, by the way, did you see all the fake news? Who's the guy in the message board? I call him Bozo. So I think his name is like Barrazzo. Barrazzo 999, who has broken stuff in the past, revealed that LA Knight is going to debut a new tag team partner on SmackDown, and this is going to happen, and it's going to happen. Yeah, it didn't happen. Didn't happen. Gruss says Cameron Grimes looks like Uncle Howdy. By the way, you know, speaking of Uncle Howdy and Bray Wyatt, did you see this yesterday, the controversy that it developed on SmackDown? This came out yesterday. When they hyped up Bobby Lashley taking on AJ Styles later in the night, because Bobby Lashley did defeat Austin Theory and Sheamus, and it was an excellent match, very surprised that Austin Theory was pinned. I thought maybe Austin Theory comes out later on to interfere, but that did not happen. Bobby Lashley, you know, defeats both guys. It kind of similar to last week's Backlash prediction. Sheamus hits a bro kick, and Lashley throws Sheamus out of the ring because Austin Theory went for A-Town on Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley turns it into the Hurt Lock. So Bobby Lashley is a Hurt Lock on Austin Theory. Sheamus comes in and breaks up the Hurt Lock with a bro kick. But Bobby Lashley throws Sheamus outside the ring and covers Theory. So Bobby Lashley did what Austin Theory did at Backlash. Now, you know, the match is over. Later on in the night, AJ Styles defeats Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley got busted open twice. He actually got busted open during this match, and I think they might have sped it up a little bit because of the bleeding. He got busted open again on the main event. The match with AJ Styles and Bobby Lashley, excellent match. The majority of it was Bobby Lashley getting rammed into the corner post a couple of times. AJ Styles, towards the end of the match, teased a phenomenal forearm. Lashley stopped it, and then Lashley got thrown into the corner post. He goes for a spear, gets AJ Styles, moves out of the way. He goes into the corner post. And AJ, teasing a phenomenal forearm a couple of times, gets the win. But before they had the match, they showed a graphic of Bobby Lashley, who's going to take on AJ Styles later on. And people took notice of the background. They see that skull. Let me tell you something. I don't mean to shit on other people's shows, but if that is the absolute clickbait that they had to use to get people to tune into the show, look, it's a skull. It's a skull. It's a Bray Wyatt's coming back. It's a skull. Yeah, I just think they had a prop. Oh, let's put it on the screen. You know, but people blew it up. Like, oh, that's Bray Wyatt stuff and this and that. I thought what some people posted was good, was a good explanation of it, but unfortunately, they were wrong. A lot of people thought that it was Shotzi Blackheart's skull, that might be the skull that they put on the front of her little car thing, but it actually isn't. If you look at the nose of the skull that is on the front of Shotzi's, you know, ATV, whatever you want to call it, look at the nose here. Look at the nose here. Two totally different. Unless they got a backup nose, a backup skull. But people were making a big deal about it. Oh, I love Austin Theory's theme. I like it. I don't think it needs to be changed. Austin Theory's theme is good. You don't really have to change much with Austin Theory right now. He's on a roll. He is on a freaking roll. All right, we got four more things. They're all quick. Yesterday, it was revealed in an SEC filing of the placeholder corporation name for the merger between Endeavor and WWE. And the placeholder corporation name is New Whale Inc. New Whale Inc. Now, some people are incorrectly reporting it, but let me tell you what this is and why it's there. April 3rd was the date, April 2nd actually was the date that WWE and Endeavor agreed on the merger and acquisition, the M&A. It was announced to the world the day after. That's how quick it went down. When Vince was at WrestleMania and then at the shows that week, he was there, obviously, for business. Now, the SEC filing, we're not going to get into that today. I have the entire filing. And what I was thinking of doing, I might, is during the week, I might highlight areas that may be really interesting for all of you to read. Similar like when we did that racial discrimination lawsuit, unlawful termination lawsuit that we brought up a few weeks ago. So I haven't read it yet, but if I see that it's interesting stuff on it and you might get a kick out of, I will highlight it and I'll put it on the screen for everybody next week. But in this SEC filing, they announced a placeholder corporation. New Whale Inc. is the corporation name. And the board of directors for New Whale Inc. will involve 11 people. This part, I told you weeks ago, that 6 would be from Endeavor, 5 would be from WWE. Ari Emanuel will be one of them. Vince McMahon will be one of them. Probably Nick Khan as well. So WWE is going to have one less person. So at the end of the day, any major business decisions, Ari Emanuel is probably going to be the decision maker. If you want to compare it to politics, it's like if the Senate was 50-50 and the vice president is the one who makes the final decision, you kind of feel like, well, you know, only Democratic stuff is going to go through because, you know, Kamala Harris is the VP. Here, when you have 11 people on the board, 6 from Endeavor, 5 from WWE, at the end of the day, Ari Emanuel could be the one that makes all the big decisions going forward. Now, because the announcement was made on April 3rd, and we're only in mid-May, there is so much that has to happen before the deal is complete. That's why all that ridiculous shit that Saudi bought WWE, I'm like, you can't do that in 3 days. There's so many legal procedures. This deal is not going to be completed till the end of the year. End of the year. So while this is going through the courts, you have to have a company name. They don't need to establish the company name right now because not only is it not needed right now, it takes a long time. When I named my corporation for everything I do here, so when I pay taxes and everything, I had to submit it and get approval. And that doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It's got to go through the proper process. So what these companies will do is they will get a placeholder corporation name. New Whale Inc. will not be the name of the corporation that runs UFC and WWE in the future. That name is temporary. The court allows you to put a placeholder until you actually, it's almost like, all right, I bought a car, a brand new car, but my car is not ready yet. So they give me a loaner car. I thought you bought a Mercedes. Yeah, but you know, it's not done yet. So they gave me an Audi. You know, don't you bought a 360. It's a placeholder. So New Whale Inc. is a temporary name. And anything that is done between now and the end of the year, it will be done under the name New Whale Inc. I try to explain it as simple as possible. I think everybody understands what I mean. So when you hear New Whale Inc., you know, if you see anybody, oh, that's a stupid name. Oh, this is too bad. It's just temporary. If you actually, if you want to laugh, if you do a little Google search about placeholder company names, there's some funny stories out there. And sometimes they intentionally use trigger words for more comedic purposes than anything else. One of the words that a lot of people will do is acme. Acme. Because acme is so generic. You know, when you think acme, you think of like Roadrunner cartoons and everything. But if you actually look into what placeholder corporation names are, yeah, you'll get some funny stories out of it. Now, something I want to show you. It's not a big deal now, but be prepared when WWE has mass releases, especially in the office. I want to show you something. Something that somebody brought to my attention. I want to thank Mikey for sending me this. Now, for those in audio only, you don't need to go check out the video. I'm just going to read you one line. Basically, what I put on the screen just now is a combined statement. It's some figures of UFC, which is Hold Company Historical, and WWE Historical. All right, and basically what this is it talks about some revenue, some expenses that each corporation has. And what's on the screen right now is for the year ending in December 31st, 2022. Now, what people are paying a lot of attention of from the financials that are being publicly revealed is a line where it says direct operating costs, okay? If you remember the last couple of years when WWE let go 100 people, 120 people, this and that, and people were like, you know, like, I'll put that back on the screen in a second, but how many times do you remember in the past people were saying like, oh, WWE is citing, you know, they had to cut expenses, but they're making record profits. They're releasing people because of budget cuts, but they're making record money. Like, how could you have budget cuts if you... That's what that is. See, WWE is downsizing because they were just pissing money away. And you have record revenue because stockholders are happy and this and that. You have record money coming in from events and merchandise and everything else. And you're trimming your overhead. So when you get a release, budget cuts. You can't say, what are you talking about budget cuts? You just made $15 billion. What do you mean budget cuts? No, well, that's not how it works. Now I give you this photo shot again. Look at UFC's direct operating costs. Actually, let's go one step further. Look at the revenue that UFC made last year. Okay, this is just historical. $1,140,147,000. Okay? No, that can't be. That's $1,140,147,000. Now listen, when it says revenue, this is not like all their merchandise, their pay-per-view sales. It's an overall number and there's other things exempt from it. But my point is this. If you look at the revenue column for WWE, for UFC, it's almost the same. It says $1,140,147,000. That's UFC. WWE is $1,291,523,000. Okay? So WWE is slightly higher than UFC. Now look at the operating cost. That's the column that everybody is paying attention to. Last year, UFC had $325,586,000 in expenses. WWE had more than double that. WWE had $730,624,000 in operating costs. WWE's number is way too high. So that number is the number. Why? If they trim that down to even $400 million, you're going to see some big fucking cuts coming. Now, you know, realistically, think about this as well. You know, if you have one corporation running UFC and WWE, you don't need three people, you know, working in two different offices. You could use one person that's overseeing something. So you have a lot of duplicate employees, somebody working for WWE, somebody working for UFC right now. Down the line, whatever the corporation name is, if you have one central office for the corporation, instead of having, you know, 50 people in one department here and 50 people in another department in here, you might have 60 people in this department. So you're going to see some big cuts coming, and it's going to be mostly on WWE side. So I figured I'd share that with you. Also, Monday on Raw, we're going to get a battle royale to determine the new number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship being held by Gunther. I still think it might be Riddle. I still think that it could be Riddle. Pretty Deadly and the Brawling Brutes, they set up a match for next week, which is going to be a lot of fun. Pretty Deadly made their SmackDown debut. Like I said, they are annoying as fuck, but they are going to fit in like a glove. They're making fun of the Brawling Brutes. They're making fun of Sheamus losing his match. And the Brawling Brutes said they're going to go get some pints. But next week it's going to be fight night, and you're going to see Pretty Deadly in their comedic finest. They might actually squeak out a win next week as well. So look out for that. Okay, two more things. We're going to get out of here. Ratings. Trinity. Remember her Impact Wrestling debut, May 4th? No rating came out. And we were very, very concerned. And I did a little research. And what I learned was that the demographic, the 18 to 49, and I know I'm repeating something I said early this week, but I'm doing it for a reason. I said the 18 to 49 demographic had to be less than 0.03. Now, let that sink in. When AEW is 0.29, that is 9 times higher than Impact. When WWE SmackDown does 0.61, that is 30 times higher than Impact. For Trinity's debut, where some people even said, oh, she's going to do to the women's division an Impact what Kurt Angle did for TNA back in the day. Her demo for 18 to 49 on her debut on May 4th had to be less than 0.03. And that's horrendous. And we said that the rating had to be less than 110,000. Well, the ratings are now in. Trinity's debut on May 4th did 102,000 viewers. The 18 to 49 demo was 0.02. This past Thursday's Impact for Trinity, once again, did 115,000 viewers. Excuse me, May 4th was 107. May 11th, 115. The demo, since everybody loves demos, 0.02. She had no effect on the rating. In fact, the rating has gone down. The rating 3 weeks ago was 133,000. And now we are down to 115. What does that tell you? That people online that made this seem, oh, I'm tuning into Impact. I haven't watched Impact in years. I'm going to go watch. Yeah, maybe they just, all of them, none of them have Nielsen boxes. Maybe that's it. They might have had twice as many viewers as just none of them had Nielsen boxes. And I'm being serious here. That could be it. But let's be honest. It's not just about Nielsen boxes. Because if Impact next week does 130,000, people will make a big deal about it. Like, look, it went up 15, 20,000. When AEW does 100,000 more viewers, look, everybody, they went up 20%. And I'm exaggerating, but you know, when it's a positive thing and it's a nice thing, people will blow it up and make it seem huge. But when it's a negative thing, oh, maybe they just didn't have Nielsen boxes. The fact is that Trinity's debut and appearance, maybe her quarter hour might have gone up a little, but one thing it's certainly done, it has not attracted new viewers. The numbers have gone down. And this is the same argument that I've been putting out there for years. And most recently, Bullet Club. Jay White, Jay White, Jay White. Oh, guess what? You could have watched him every fucking week on Impact. Bronson Reed, Bronson Reed. Well, maybe not Bronson Reed. I mean, people don't realize that Impact Wrestling has had some of these people recently, week and week and week and week. Oh, they're my favorite. It's my favorite. Well, tune in. And they don't. So, not good. Not good. That's disappointing. Now, this Thursday, she will have a first in-ring match. She will take on Kylan King. Let's see what happens there. Impact Wrestling's been really good lately. I want to make that clear to everybody out there. Impact Wrestling's been pretty good. They definitely deserve better numbers than that. Why they just can't get 150,000? I mean, my God, think about that, everyone. 150,000. That's like one-third of Rampage. Like, why can't Impact get 20 or 30,000 more people to watch them? I don't get it. I am totally lost. Because you got millions of wrestling fans out there. And apparently they all love Trinity. You know? And they still, like, no matter what Impact puts out there, you get an extra 10,000 here, 15,000 there, and then a week after, I don't know. I don't understand it, man. I mean, I do understand it, but I'm kind of baffled that even this couldn't attract viewers. Even that. Okay, last for tonight. Something that most of you already knew. I knew it as well. It's because people got fooled. That's why they hate Chavo. All right, Chavo Guerrero Jr. just did an interview with Chris Van Vliet. During that interview, he talked about the recent Twitter comments and the comments he made during an autograph signing about Rey Mysterio. And if you remember that day when the IWC was calling Chavo awful and this and that and saying all this horrible stuff, if you remember, I went on social media and I said this: am I the only idiot that will do a show tonight interpreting Chavo's comments as a storyline with the hope WWE would pair him with Dominic? I mean, I thought everything that he was saying was storyline. So he just did an interview with Chris Van Vliet. And I want to thank John for sending me a little bit of a transcript. This is not long, but he mentions during the autograph signing that people were bringing up Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio, and Chavo says that he was being tongue-in-cheek. He kind of laughed and said that Dominic Mysterio is probably a Guerrero. It was 100% sarcasm. When we got done, Nick Houseman, who was doing the signing with him, Nick looks at him and he's like, wow. I was like, come on, it was a total work. And Nick tells him it felt so real. And people were jumping all over that. Nick Houseman texts Chavo later in the day and says, your stuff is all over the news. The New York Post even picked up on it. Chavo says, really? I was like being tongue-in-cheek and laughing about it. And I'm sorry nobody knows who Rey Mysterio is. You always want to be a Guerrero, very tongue-in-cheek. I texted Nick back. I said, watch what I say next. That's when I said about him wanting to be a Guerrero and using the Guerrero's name for his own benefit. I mean, I really pissed off a lot of people. People started going nuts and going crazy. Finally, after I started messing with them, and I said, okay, guys, hook, line, and sinker. I was being a heel. One thing Vince McMahon told me and my dad, talking about Eddie, you know why I like the Guerreros? Because you aren't scared of heat. You love it. I'm like, of course, me and my dad want to fight our way to the... So he says, I'm doing pro wrestling stuff in Hollywood, and I'm still connected to Hollywood. So I just had a little fun, and still literally people, I just had someone go through the tweets. They don't want to look at the other tweets where I say, okay, guys, it wasn't real. They're like, yeah, you're just backtracking. And, oh my God, really? Are you guys that easy? I love wrestling fans because they are that easy. But at the same time, I'm like, really? talks more with Chris Van Vliet. But listen, was it done in poor taste? Yeah. But back in the day when Eddie passed and they were using his car and using him in the storyline, there was a lot of people at that time that said, wow, that's in poor taste. And if you remember, I mean, props if you do, back when I was doing my hotline at the time and doing the podcast, we said that, you know, you don't know if Eddie, you know, when he was alive, like, hey, if I'm dead, keep my name alive, put it in storylines, you know, keep it. Shit, I would love for somebody to, if I was doing wrestling, I'd love somebody to do that for me. Keep my shit alive, you know? So back then, people thought it was, I thought Chavo was doing nothing but trying to pitch possibility of him being involved in the Dominic storyline in Ray. And I still could swear I watched it back and I'm still convinced. Right before Savio Vega came out at Backlash, I could swear the crowd was chanting, Chavo, Chavo, Chavo. Probably not, because it's Puerto Rico, it's not Mexico. But no, it was right before the LWO came out, excuse me. But, you know, like, listen, I know there's a lot of people that don't like Chavo. And I know there's a lot of people that feel like, oh, Chavo, you know, he's just living off the Guerrero name. It's like, well, his last name is Guerrero, but, you know, like, I don't know why. I just feel now that people that got fooled, instead of just accepting the fact that you got fooled by Chavo, you know, their answer is, oh, this piece of shit is backtracking. He's just a total asshole. What a piece of shit. And yeah, yeah, Chavo, yeah, you did it as a heel. Yeah, you know, you just, instead of just saying, hey, you know, he kind of fooled me. You know, I thought he was being 100% storyline. I mean, I don't know. But I figured I'd share it because he just did an interview. And when I watched his comments, yeah, I believe what I believed that night. He was 100% in character. Whether you liked how real it felt is another thing. And if you felt uncomfortable, I respect that. But, you know, I don't think Chavo was trying to burn bridges. So, all right, everybody. I'm out of here. We are at 90 minutes, which is what I wanted to do for today. I want to thank you all for joining me, especially for those who are live. Again, tomorrow night, if you are interested at 8:05, we'll do a regular episode of the sit down. For my channel members here, I'm going to be posting something. I don't know if it's going to be in video form yet or if it's going to be text, but it definitely has to do with the channel and some changes that are going to be coming. And I definitely would love your input to, you know, help me with those changes. So, like I said, what I'm going to announce soon will probably go into effect like June 1st. Some people are not going to like it. I'm going to make it clear some people are not going to like it. But going forward, you know, it's the best way to handle this channel and everybody who supports what I do. So shout out to E7. Oh, why is it you put your name so freaking complicated? E7. GU3RO316. E7GU3RO316. Thank you for the 4-spot, my friend. Gamers Block for the 2-spot. Thank you. Bring back the call-ins. You know what? I might be doing that too. I might be doing that on Sundays. But like I said, I don't want to give it away. I will again tell you, if you look at Wrestling Observer, how they handle their YouTube and how they handle their audio-only shows, I'm going to be probably doing something very similar. There's a lot of people that do the same format, but the idea is that you know, it's I don't want to get into it now. It's going to start getting really complicated. But the bottom line is that, you know, there's some people that were pretty, you know, annoyed that I stopped doing video on Wednesday, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, like, how do I compromise this, and how do I handle this, and how do I stop, you know, like the people that are like, okay, I'm staying up till 4 a.m. doing this stuff, you know, between editing and uploading and posting it everywhere and then going to sleep and then getting up at 7, feeling like shit. And then you have 3/4 of your viewers that are watching somebody else's live stream and then watching yours afterwards. Well, no problem. There's an old saying, you snooze, you lose. So if you don't tune in live, you'll still be able to tune in, but under some different circumstances. So that's kind of where it's going. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll definitely talk about it in the very near future. And I want to thank you all for joining me. So if you're around Sunday night at 8.05 p.m., you are welcome to join me live over here. We will definitely get into a lot of Q&A and other topics. And then next Sunday, we're going to try to keep wrestling off the topics. Because a lot, listen, we just did a Patreon show. And there was some people that were really, really, I mean, having some issues, you know, just depression, insomnia, relationship, even we stomach stuff, you know, with weird stuff, but some very serious stuff. And we had some serious, legit convo. Everybody raved about it. I got so much positive feedback, like, DT, why don't you once in a while do a show? You want to talk about the shit that's going on, you know, we see on the streets, some of the, you know, other things going on, just problems that we all deal with. So we're going to have some conversation that has nothing to do about wrestling. So we'll do it next Sunday, and we'll see how it turns out. We'll see the response to it. And I think that is something that I think is missing amongst the wrestling channels. You know, I mean, sure, you know, you tune into wrestling channels for wrestling. But what about, you know, stuff that's going on in the real world? You know, sometimes people would like to hear those discussions from the same people that they get their wrestling discussion from. So we'll try it next Sunday. We'll just have some real talk, and we'll see how the response is, and we'll go from there. If it sucks, it'll be a one-off, and that's the end of it. If people really, in some way, take something from it and really enjoy it, then maybe it'll become a semi-regular thing. We'll see what happens. But for now, I bid you farewell.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers.
El Guero, 316. That's what I said earlier. E7GU3RO36. It's El Guero, 316.
They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.